Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you live from the Mad Dog Dynasty League headquarters in Maguanago, Wisconsin. Fat Guy with a Phone Productions proudly presents another episode of the Mad Dog Dynasty League podcast. Bow, wow, wow, yippee. Hey, welcome to the doghouse. I am the commissioner of the Mad Dog Dynasty League, Rick Goreski, and aforementioned Fat Guy with a Phone himself. We are getting the band back together tonight to talk about the 2016 Mad Dog offseason. We're continuing that series that we started. Third time's a charm, or at least I hope so, because it's our third show in a 12-part series aimed at examining all the offseason moves for each of the teams in the Mad Dog Dynasty League. Before that can happen, please let me add the we to me. I will introduce our co-hosts at this time. One of which is here. Two are on the way. So, please, ladies and gentlemen, we are here tonight. Let's see here. Oh, I know this one. He had to pack up his Reggie Ragland for Defensive Rookie of the Year signed today. He might not be in the best of the moods. Owner of the Stone Form Pallies, Steve Wellman.
Good evening, good evening.
Hey, man. Thanks for making time. The show is always better when you're on it.
Thank you, thank you.
Oh, we're just waiting
I'm
around
for
Tom and Brian,
quiet.
So I think... What's that?
I'm in a bit of mourning, so I'm a little silent here.
We have to wait for Tom and Brian, so I was thinking we would just sit here in silence. Maybe some dead air. What do you think?
A little respect for Mr. Ragland.
Well, I tell you, we can bring one of our co-hosts in because out of the gate here, joining us tonight, he just submitted paperwork today to legally change his name to Trade. That's just Trade, all caps. The owner of Malicious Minds, Tom Buckles. Good to have you with us, Tom.
Trade.
We have one more guy showing up here in just a moment. You missed it. I was announcing Steve that he had to put his Reggie Ragland for Defensive Rookie of the Year sign away today.
Yeah. Reggie.
That really sucked. No, you know what? In all honesty, joking aside, that sucks. When you draft a guy, especially in, you know, end of the first, start of the second, in that turn, oh, God, does that hurt. Will you be able to recover from that, Steve?
He's got 18,000 receivers he drafted. He should be fine.
Yeah, well, yeah, and it is a dynasty league, so you know, there is always next year.
Well, just tell us the impact of that while we're burning a minute here, waiting for Brian. Just tell us the impact of that. You know, what went through your mind other than son of a...
Well, that's just it, you know, and the whole premise behind why I drafted him now, just I'm just such, I feel like such an idiot, because I was choosing between him and Deion Jones, and I thought, well, everybody before that had been kind of drafting on name dropping, so I figured if I take Ragland now, I can get Deion Jones a couple picks later, and it didn't wind up being that way. So, yeah, you know, what comes back to bite you can hurt twice as hard sometimes.
So if you could do that one over, you'd just take Jones outright at that point?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Well, why don't we go ahead with the show while we're waiting for our final guest. We're here tonight to talk about the Blue Division's off-season moves. Specifically, we're going to talk about Tom Buckles' Malicious Minds. As we record this show, the final signing deadline is less than 24 hours away. And one of those teams that did take it down to the deadline was yours, Tom, making your moves just 10 minutes ago. So we've got breaking news to share on this podcast as far as the moves that Tom made. Tell you what we're going to do. Hopefully our fourth guy will show up and I'll introduce him. But in the meantime, let me get at the reading off the different roster moves so that, you know, I'll quickly recap Malicious Mind's moves for the season, the signings, cuts, taxi promotions, draft choices, trades, the whole works, things that impacted the franchise, and then we'll go through and we'll talk about them. So people may not realize it, but Tom's team, Malicious Minds, was a backup away from being the league champion just last year. He won the Blue Division in 2015 and also in 2013. So his team has won two of the last three Blue Division titles. And what does that mean? It means they're obviously competitive to begin with. And Steve and I were talking off mic just yesterday and a little bit today about how difficult it is when you build a good roster to keep improving in this league where everybody is very competitive. So before I go any further, please let me bring in the 2012 league champion and defensive line expert, the owner of the Marauding Minotaurs, Brian Koch. Brian, what's happening?
Hey, guys. How you doing again tonight?
You know.
You know.
Can I get a hug?
We're doing awesome. We're going to review Tom's team tonight.
We're going to review my team, and we're going to review my team, and we're going to give Steve a hug for Reggie Ragland.
Yeah, tough loss there.
Yeah, he was poised to start, I think.
He'll be a 50-cent player for the next 3 years, so let's bank on that.
Look at that, Brian, bringing the silver lining to the cloud. I love it. He gave you the silver lining, Steve. Glasses half full. Say, Tom's roster today stands at 33 players after his signings that he just made. He has $17.20 left in cap space. He signed Andy Dalton, 3-year deal, $461 a year, cut Ryan Fitzpatrick. Mariota, he did an early signing on Mariota, locked him in for 3 years at $3.08 a year. I think that's probably a really good move. Running back Andrews of Tennessee was cut. Sharkhandrick West of Kansas City cut. Melvin Gordon was a sign-and-trade. He did an early signing to lock Gordon in at 63 cents a year for 3 years and then traded him to Ipswich, and we'll talk about the deals later. Jordan Matthews signed to a 3-year deal at $6.05 a year. J.J. Nelson of Arizona, wide receiver, 55 cents a year for 3 years. Signed Emmanuel Sanders of Denver. Emmanuel. 3 years, $6.05. Cut Wilson. Is it Marcus Wilson? Chicago? Cut him. He's in the unemployment line. Barnage from Cleveland, the tight end. Signed him to a 1-year deal at $6.32. Mason Crosby was a sign and trade. He actually put a transition tag on Mason Crosby. Cost him $1.87 a year on a 3-year deal, and then turned around and traded him to our friend, the Marauding Minotaurs, who's joining us tonight. Is it Jay Howard from Kansas City, defensive lineman?
Yeah.
3-year deal, $2.62 a year. Used the transition tag Tom did on Sheldon Richardson of the Jets at defensive line, 1-year deal at $5.16 a year. He had to tag him or cut him. He decided to tag him. Javon Clowney, his contract was up, 3-year deal at 50 cents a year. Obviously, injuries have derailed Clowney's career up to this point, so his contract was very cheap. Perryman, linebacker of San Diego, was an early signing, strategic early signing, $1.50 a year, locked him in at 3 years. DeAndre Levy was a sign-and-trade. He locked him up at $5.90 for 3 years and then traded him. Tom promoted Marcus Golden, a linebacker from Arizona, put him on a 3-year deal at 50 cents. He also signed Amerson, the cornerback from Oakland, and Peters, the cornerback from Kansas City. Amerson, a 2-year deal at $2.75. Peters was a 2-year deal at $3.85. Both of those guys were top 12 DBs last year. And then the rest of his cuts, I think it's Ramique Wilson, linebacker, Kansas City, Blake of Pittsburgh, these are all defensive backs now, Blake of Pittsburgh, Butler, New England, Pac-Man Jones, Cincinnati, Josh Norman, Toller from Indianapolis, and Conte from Tampa Bay, all those guys were cuts. Now I can tell you about the cuts that were made that cost him cap hits. Gavin Escobar of Dallas, Tom cut him this preseason, took a 50-cent cap hit on that. And the surprising hits of Colin Kaepernick and C.J. Spiller, both of those guys combined costing Tom $4.30 in cap hits. So Kaepernick and Spiller were, I think they released just yesterday, right, Tom?
Yeah.
Yeah, so draft-wise, wow. Might want to get that looked at. Draft-wise, Tom did some wheeling and dealing in the draft and ended up with the second overall pick and the 12th pick, as well as a fourth and fifth rounder. He took Laquon Treadwell of Minnesota, wide receiver, with the second overall pick, followed that up with the 12th pick, Carl Joseph, safety of Oakland, Wendell Smallwood, running back Philadelphia in the fourth round, and then tied up his draft with Tajay Sharp of Tennessee, a wide receiver. Good, solid draft. I think everybody in our draft shows agreed with that. Again, I mentioned the taxi squad promotion of Marcus Golden, linebacker from Arizona, so he used his taxi squad, and then the trades. I'll tell you about the trades, and then we'll move it over to you guys for some commentary. Ipswich United made a trade with Tom, giving up DeAndre Hopkins in the second pick in the second round. Malicious Minds to get DeAndre Hopkins gave away Melvin Gordon, last year's second overall pick, DeAndre Levy, and he gave up the ninth pick in the second round this year. Then there was a trade between the Malicious Minds and the Minotaurs. Malicious Minds gave up Emmanuel Sanders, Mason Crosby. Where'd it go? A third-round pick this year, and a first-round pick next year, and a second-round pick next year, and a third-round pick next year. And Malicious Minds acquired Blake Bortles, quarterback Jacksonville, so we got his franchise quarterback in this deal. Blair Walsh, kicker, and Stephon Tuitt, the defensive lineman from Pittsburgh, as well as the fourth overall pick in the 2016 draft. So, again, he gave up his first, second, and third next year, and he gave up a third rounder in 2016 along with Mason Crosby and Emmanuel Sanders, but he got Blake Bortles, Tuitt, the fourth overall pick, and Blair Walsh. A couple more trades to mention here. Malicious Minds traded the fourth pick overall. Then he turned around, took that fourth overall, the ninth overall, and the second pick in the second round. He traded all that to Stoneform Pallies in exchange for the second overall pick and the 12th overall pick and the 10th pick in the second round. So he moved up. Then he traded the 10th pick in the second round, continuing to deal over to Transpap Sixer to get Stephen Guskowski, the place kicker. And then Tom just made a trade a couple days ago with Ipswich United. Ipswich acquired Kiki Alonso in a fifth-round pick next year from Malicious Minds. In exchange, Ipswich gave up their third- and fourth-round picks in 2017. We're going to talk about Malicious Minds offseason now, but Tom, I'm going to have you start off. Could you tell us what your goals or philosophy was this offseason before we get comments from Steve and Brian?
I don't know. I got confused. I don't know. I just saw that there was a couple opportunities to get certain players and different picks. And I think the trade of Brian, it may come back to bite me in the rear in the future because, even while we were talking about making that trade, I was hoping I would still have something for next year's draft to be able to get going. But I guess I'm satisfied with what I got. We'll see how it rolls out this year. But as we said, names change to trade, so I got to trade to trade, you know. Probably make too many trades.
Like Andy, you swung the bat, man. You swung the bat.
That's kind of my philosophy. I always just always gone against the grain. I've mentioned it on other podcasts, is how our other king for a day draft is. The first time anybody's ever drafted six defensive players right away first before a single offensive player came off the board. So,
but it begs the question, Tom.
Make a splash.
All the owners in the league want to know this. Why do you ever sign a guy to a three-year deal since you only intend on keeping them for one or two? I'm screwing
well,
with you, man.
I'm only looking
Zing!
At it. If I'm going to sign a guy for 3 years, you know, and if I'm not planning on keeping him, at least that guy I'm going to trade him to at least can get a couple of years out of him. So there you go.
A positive is that everybody knows that they could ask Tom about any player that's on his team, and he would talk about it legitimately. Why don't we move over to Steve? Steve, how about those malicious minds?
Well, what do you want me to start on, just in general? Yeah, we can start going position by position.
Well, I just
want to
know your general – what's your general thoughts, and then we'll dive in position by position, looking at quarterbacks and et cetera. Just what was your initial impression?
Well, I mean, I thought he made some – well, obviously he made some good moves, and then he made some moves that kind of made me scratch my head, but – you know, it's one. I guess when you're a good team, you have the freedom to do that because obviously he's competitive year in and year out, so he must know what he's doing. I just don't have a grasp on it yet.
And Brian, what do you think, buddy? Brian, what do you think about the moves Tom made this offseason?
You know, you go ahead and you look at obviously the big one is the trade with myself. You know, Emmanuel Sanders is a kicker, and then we wound up basically swapping kickers, and I gave him a first, Blake Bortles and Steven Tuitt. So, basically, I really think that Tom did come out ahead on that. You know, I mean, I think that overall, looking back at it, we both kind of got caught up in the moment for 10 seconds, and, you know, say we were like, you know, let's do it. So, I think overall, I think that Tom came out with the better end of that deal. But I'm very happy for him, and I think that he'll be very competitive this year.
For my 2 cents worth, I think that he had a very good offseason. He injected life into his roster. He last year had several players who just had question marks on them, and he managed to get clarity on some of those players while at the same time getting a franchise quarterback, which I think Bortles can be considered a franchise quarterback for our Dynasty League at this point. And it did cost him a lot of picks next year. But again, you got that key piece, which can never really rip a guy when he's chasing a quarterback and nailing down one of the most important pieces in the league. But let's go ahead and break it down. Let's start with that quarterback as a segue. Blake Bortles, Andy Dalton, Marcus Mariota, picked up Mariota in the draft last year and signed him to a very extended him early signing to a very favorable deal at $308. Blake Bortles locked up 3 years at $1,274, and then to cap it off, the cherry on the top, Andy Dalton, get it, carry top, cherry on the top. 3 years, $461. Tom, any comments about your quarterbacks?
No, I can see some ankles being broken and, you know, injuries, so I better have three in case one of them goes down.
Wait, why did you stay with Mariota? Like, and these are just generic questions that any owner might have. I mean, you scored on Mariota last year. He did get injured at the end of the year. What was the motivation to go get Bortles?
I see him being able to run out his contract for the 3 years, and then probably I'll probably tie myself around Mariota once that guy's contract's over. And like I said, I'll see if there's a trading partner out there who wants, you know, a favorable contract, and Andy Dalton for 3 years is available out there. Like I said, for $461, I mean. He's got A.J. Green, Eifert, you know. I'm sure there's teams that wouldn't mind having that guy. I mean, there are a couple teams that need either a quarterback or a backup quarterback, so not a bad option,
Steve.
Although I did drop a few guys, so.
Steve, what do you think of the quarterbacks?
Well, I think he did a good job there. I mean, he's got a dream quarterback stable. He's got two guys that you could plug in at any time, given the situation. And, I mean, people – like to thumb their nose up at Andy Dalton, but, I mean, year in, year out, he's still a legitimate starting quarterback. So the fact that he has three legitimate starting quarterbacks that he can either start according to matchup or if somebody gets injured, you know, he's not sweating that position. So that's pretty good deal.
And, Brian, how about you?
You know, I do like his, you know, I mean, the Andy Dalton one I'd probably walk away from and just kind of throw him back out in free agency to see what he can get. See if he can get him cheaper is what I'm trying to say. You know, because if you already got Mariota and Bortles, I think having a third one's overkill, especially at $4 a year.
We like to trade. You've got three guys you can trade.
On the offensive flex, your wide receivers, running backs, tight ends, the old flex position, last year, just to put this into perspective, you could argue he had David Johnson, who was, you know, he was having kind of flashing those signs, but splitting carries with the other Johnson, Chris Johnson, right? Also had Charkandrick West, who was getting playing time, splitting time in Kansas City. Jarvis Landry was doing fantastic. Emmanuel Sanders, you know, the passing game wasn't what it has been in Denver. Melvin Gordon had a disappointing year. Lamar Miller wasn't getting carries. Miami was horrible. Jordan Matthews was doing okay, but that Philadelphia situation was just a meltdown. C.J. Spiller had injuries and things weren't going well. He had a mess on his hands last year. And now this year, he's got some really good players after these trades and after things. Again, Lamar Miller was on his team, but now Lamar Miller's part of the Houston Texans, and they're going to give him the ball, whereas Miami wasn't. So that's a huge plus. That's a guy who takes a step up. That's an improvement without him even having to do anything. So Hopkins being added to the roster. Landry goes from being his second best, arguably his second best guy, to arguably his fourth best flex. What do you think, Tom? You obviously set out to improve the old flex.
Yeah, I was looking to fill some spots. Like you said, there were some sketchy guys on the squad, and I felt that I needed, well, with David getting the nod to be the starter eventually, that just for where I got him in the draft, the rookie draft the year before, was, you know, for him to do what he did is phenomenal. And then, you know, being able to pull DeAndre Hopkins out with his only going in as his fifth year, he's a young kid. So I feel I have a nice young group of receivers with a nice young core of running back. They've only been like 4 or 5 years or less in the league. So I got a young, solid core of flex position guys. And they are available still because I am always looking to trade.
He's pumping the trade on the Mad Dog Dynasty League podcast. Steve, tell us about that old flex. Flex the old for us.
Well, I will tell you about the old flex and the rest of his teams to make my part of this show very short and concise. I think he did a great job except for one trade and one draft pick that I scratched my head at. Otherwise, I think he did an excellent job. I mean, yes, you've got DeAndre Hopkins in the lineup now. That's huge. You know, he won with the David Johnson lottery. And yeah, you know, he got a good deal with Lamar Miller going over to Miami. So his old flex is very flexed.
And Brian, what do you think about those? Oh,
I'm here.
The old flex, buddy. What do you think?
Yeah. No, I'm thinking that he's doing pretty good. The only thing I never like is having a running back and a wide receiver from the same team. Lamar Miller, DeAndre Hopkins. That's kind of, you know, who's going to get the touchdown when you're down on the 5 yard line. So that's always a catch 22. But, you know, when I go in and do look at his old flex, I feel very confident. He has a lot of young stars in the making, if I may say. And, you know, I'm really impressed with Treadwell and Sharp. I'm hoping that those guys turn out for him. I said it last night. I think in the next few years, once these guys develop, that Tom could be a major contender for years to come.
I think it's telling that you just finally mentioned Treadwell and Tajay Sharp, and I'm going to throw out Wendell Smallwood because Ryan Matthews is injured already. the rest of the offensive flex is so strong that we didn't even need to talk about his rookies, and those are pretty decent rookies on offense. So moving to the tight end position, it is one of the oldest combos in the league, I think, Barnage and Witten. Witten, I don't know if he'll be around next year. It's been an incredible career. I don't expect much out of him, maybe some goal line work. But Barnage, I think, is going to be very good in Cleveland. But that's just a flat stand pat on that. There's no improvement at tight end. Anybody disagree? Anybody see an angle that it is an improvement?
I view Barnage, as a very old rookie, if I may say. I know the guy's 30 years old, been in the league for 8 or 9 years, and last year was his big major breakout year. That to me is always kind of a sign somewhere. And as far as Jason Witten, I think you said earlier in the season he cut Galvin Escobar. I would have kind of rolled the dice with Galvin as opposed to an aging tight end, with Jason Witten at 605 a year. So good luck as far as whoever's going to go chase down Galvin, because I think that he'd be a player in the future.
Now, at kicker, Tom made one of the most surprising trades of the draft when he traded 210 to Trans-Pabst Sixer to get Steven Gostkowski. Now, Gostkowski has been the top place kicker going, 3 to 5 years consecutively. Tom, what was it that made you give up that high draft pick for that kicker?
I had my inner Saiyans kick me in the groin there or something, saying, you got to go get him, because he seems to get him every year in our other drafts. So I'm like, I guess I got a chance to get him. And Andy wasn't getting back to me on the trade offer. I know he wanted to get back into the second round, and he was throwing me all kinds of stuff, but he wasn't responding when I returned his messages. So I was on the clock. I was on vacation, and it came to me, and I'm like, you know what? This will give me a chance to go on vacation and go away.
Steve? He's on vacation on Quaaludes? Is that what you said?
Yeah. I was on vacation. I was drunk in the bathroom on Quaaludes. I was on the mountaintop with nobody else around but a Sherpa and a yak.
Dude, I was doing everything.
Signals. That's the one thing I don't get, and I love you, Tom, but my goodness, the way you stacked up your offensive flex to give up a second round pick to possibly get a kicker that might get 2 points a game more than a couple of free agents out there, I just like, what? But if it works, it works. I can't complain. I've always been a bridesmaid or less in my division, but that one just, I don't know.
Mason Crosby was his kicker last year, and Crosby, he had used his free signing. So signing him to the transition deal and trading him is what Tom did. And Gostkowski, I think it's hard to argue that it's not an improvement, because he's been the top kicker, period. So I consider it an upgrade. But over at defensive line, guys, the core of Tom's defensive line stays the same with Dunlop, Howard, and Richardson, but he adds via trade, that big trade with the Minotaurs, Stephen Tuitt from Pittsburgh, and I think that's a very solid move. I mean, Tom's one of the few guys that has 4 starting defensive linemen. He could make a trade at any time. Lots of flexibility here. Tom, what was the thought in picking up Tuitt? You already had a strong stable of defensive linemen.
Looked at his age, looked that he was already under a nice, cheap contract for 2 more years. Kind of talked with Brian about that. And this was before, possibly before Chandler Jones's trade and getting realigned to a linebacker instead of DE. So, I thought as a young guy, and the guy's got the contract, and he's playing with Pittsburgh, and those guys, him and Hayward, are beasts, man.
And, Brian, you were the guy that traded him to it, and I know you really liked to it. It wasn't easy to let go. What do you have to say about to it, and what was it that got you to let go of that piece?
I felt that when I made that trade with Tom in April, that I was really set at defensive line and I didn't have to worry about anything. So I felt like comfortable letting him go. And, you know, needless to say, my hat's off to Tom for being able to pull that one off of me. 3 weeks later, if it was the same trade, knowing that Chandler Jones was one of the linebacker, that trade would never happen. So, you know, Steven Tuitt was a first-round draft pick by Steelers. Steelers are, you know, you always know that they're always about being rough and tough and, you know, just being very physical in the line of scrimmage. So basically I think that Steven Tuitt's going to really be the, again, another rising star. Everyone's going to be buying his jersey in a couple years.
I like that one. Everybody's going to buy his jersey. Let's move over to Steve to get your thoughts on the defensive line position.
Well, you can never have too many good defensive linemen. And, you know, we often talk a lot about the whole move of the NFL going to a passing game, but another evolution of the NFL that doesn't get a lot of attention is that now gone are the days of your standard 4-3 and your 3-4 packages. Defensive packages have sub-packages like there's no tomorrow. So having finding a good defensive lineman that plays three downs consistently is actually a commodity in this league now, and I think he's done a good job of wrapping a couple of those up.
I got one out there for a trade with you right now.
He's writing them as the show's going on.
my email's filling up with trade offers from Malicious Minds. What's going on?
Yeah, the defensive line spot has definitely improved. You know, and it was already strong to begin with. Going to D-Flex to close out this part of the show, the defensive flex position seems a bit weak. Some of the players that were starters for Tom last year have been cut. He did promote the taxi squad guy. He's got Denzel Perriman, who's going to get some playing time. I mean, there's some changes naturally happening. You got Carl Joseph in the draft, which is huge. I think he'll start for him this year. But I think this is probably a spot where it still needs some help. Tom, what are you thinking about defensive flex right now?
I think my guys are set for the future is what that is for me. I got
definitely
a bunch of
young
group of guys. I see guys that are on that next level. They're ready to, you know, make that step up. Perriman, we talked about it when I got him. You were looking at him as two. We figured the first year was going to be a learning curve, but he got in there towards the end of that year, and he's only showing signs of being the guy with the green label on the helmet who's going to be calling plays. So he's going to be that natural leader in the center on that defense linebacking core. I got Michael Kendricks, who's going to be calling the plays now in the defensive line there. I like my two safeties, and then I can just throw any two other guys I want to throw in there. Plus, you can pick up guys off the waiver wire whenever you want to throw a guy in. So it costs, 50 cents a guy?
Yep, yeah, I mean, they're on the cap hit, and it's 75, but, you know, if you're going to keep toggling guys in and out, but you're accurate. Steve, why don't you talk about the D-flex, please?
Yeah, I don't think he did much of an improvement. He might have taken a small, slight step backwards, but, see, that's the beauty of being a competitive team, is that you can take certain areas of your roster and roll the dice on them. I mean, you know, in the overall picture of his team, might he have taken a step back or two, like a point or two on defense? Yes, but he added, you know, 8 or 10 points on the offensive side. So letting the offensive side kind of, you know, pardon the pun, but take the ball and let the defensive side, you know, keep him in the game. Like he said, all he needs to do is find a hot defensive flex guy or a guy that's on fire on the free agency list, and he's set.
And I think it's at this point worth mentioning that it was who's the old Badger that went there to San Francisco and then retired? Chris Borland.
Borland?
Yeah. Tom had drafted Borland. And if Borland was playing right now, if that concussion stuff hadn't happened, boy, would that be quite a boost to this
different
team
question
right now.
Mm-hmm.
Brian, what do you think about the D-flex? I would have traded him. Go ahead, Brian, on the D-flex.
Brace on Tom Deflex. I'm still a little perplexed about Javon Clowney. Yeah, I mean, the guy was touted as this, defensive end, and now all of a sudden he's a linebacker. He's been linebacker material for a few years now. So that one there I'm still perplexed on. Bud Pree, I was really kind of high on. I was looking at him as one of my draft picks a couple years ago. Tom jumped on that one and made it his. I like Kendricks, Perryman, Werlo. Not a huge fan of cornerbacks, for this particular league. But Malcolm Jenkins, good solid player there. Again, you're playing with another linebacker from the same team, so it's kind of like, only one of those guys are going to go ahead and get the tackles. You can't go ahead and keep racking up tackles and assists together throughout the whole game. And it's just, you know what I'm saying? One guy's taking away points from the other. But overall,
Let me jump in. That Tom needs any help, but just for the record, I'm a fan of any defensive back that scores 231 points, cornerback or safety.
I do want to throw out an interesting fact. I randomly grabbed a lineup from 2015 while, in preparation to talk about, looking at what he was running last year to be able to compare to what he's going to be able to run this year. And I happened to see Javon Clowney this particular week scored 25 points. And he is listed as linebacker, but he had 4 tackles, 3 assists, 2 sacks, 2 quarterback hits, obviously, and tackles for a loss with the sack. But he had 20 sack yards. I think that's exactly what the Texans were hoping for when they drafted him. And if he's healthy and can put up games like that, oh, man, this really changes things.
And the report when you look at his D-flex is that he's looking better and healthier than he ever has. So, that could definitely pay some dividends.
Right, and for him still being young and in the league and only 50 cents for 3 years, if he's got any chance to show any promise for that 50 cents for 3 years, I could trade his ass in the season if he has a great year.
For my own comments, I do think that the D-flex has improved, but not a lot. I think Carl Joseph is going to be a starter this year, and I just can't say enough about that guy. That was the player that I was really hoping to get at the end of first, start of second to that rough area, and kudos to Tom for taking him. But I see a lot of young guys that you never really know for sure until they really prove it. They have great potential, and you sure would, a lot of these guys would be nice on any of our teams, but you've got Kendricks as a solid, set it and forget it, and Peters has proven that he's good. And you've got, like I said, I think Carl Joseph will eventually take a spot. I think he's already practicing with the starters, but that aside, if he just gets one or two of these other guys, Perryman, to hit this year, to get Clowney to hit, I mean, this thing's really going to look good along with whatever moves Tom makes from here out. But let's talk about the starting lineup, Tom. Could you tell us what your starting lineup, just roughly, it doesn't have to be, nobody's going to hold you to this, but what would your starting lineup be? And we got about 5 minutes, guys, between us all.
Andy Dalton, of course, would start. No, just kidding. Since I made the move and trade, I'd be playing Bortles, David Johnson, Lamar Miller, DeAndre Hopkins, and Jarvis Landry. Probably roll Barnage right now, Gostkowski, Thumlap, and, first week would have to be Tua because Richardson's suspended. And then after that, it would be, like I said, I'd probably go Malcolm Jenkins, Carl Joseph, Fairman, Kendrick, Bud Dupree, and I'm playing probably Clowney.
And Steve, we're going to be coming to you next for the starting lineup. What do you think, if you were Tom and you were going to roll a lineup out there, what would you pick?
I would almost exactly the same, except for I'd make a couple of changes in the defensive flex. I think he's certainly able to start all 4 of his defensive backs. I mean, David Amerson is a really good defensive back, and
on the way
he scored 200. Yeah, he's only going. Yeah, his ceiling is high. So I might actually would have started probably Amerson instead of Dupree.
Brian, what do you think about the starting lineup if you were Tom?
Pretty solid. I feel very confident if I were in his shoes about the offensive side of the ball. Defensive side of the ball, I'd be looking at free agency a little bit and hoping that I can grab something out of there. I'm still enamored with Steven Tuitt, you know, but the rest of his defensive guys, I think that, you know, free agency is going to be a way to upgrade, you know, a position or two.
For myself, of course, Bortles. I like Johnson and Lamar Miller, Hopkins, and Landry as the starters on offense with Barnage as the tight end. Guskowski's great. You can't go wrong with any of the defensive linemen. So, you know, whatever matchup's got the best play that week is fine. Defensive flex, I think I would definitely, as long as Perriman's getting the playing time that we think he's going to get, he would be in my lineup along with Kendricks and Peters and Joseph, as long as Joseph is starting. And then I would sprinkle in matchups from there. You know, is it Jenkins? Is it Amerson? Whatever it is. So back to Tom, I'm going to ask you to sit this one out. Steve, Brian, do you guys think that this lineup can compete to win the Blue Division? Steve first.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no doubt. I mean, the offensive side of the ball is just something to envy, and I think he's got a solid enough defense. He can certainly compete.
Brian?
Yeah, I definitely think that Tom's going to be a competitor. I think him and Andy are going to go toe-to-toe. No offense to Tom. Love him like a brother, but I'll tell you what, I'm pulling for Andy.
Whoa, a little trash talking. I do think this team
only because
won
of that
draft
pick is in the mix there, that's all.
I don't feel like I'm going out on much of an island to say that he's going to compete. He's won the division two of the last 3 years. I think he improved the hell out of his team and has more guys that are, you can count on him. There's not as many question marks. I think there's a little more work to be done, need a little more depth on defense, but he's got plenty of money and time and trade bait to be able to do that. So as long as there's no major injuries, I do think they'll compete. Guys, one of our last questions, if not the last question, on a 5-point scale, how would you grade the Malicious Minds off-season moves? Tom, go ahead and grade yourself. We got a minute and a half left.
A 5-point
scale.
For
only
two
a two. Steve.
Well, I'll give him a 4. I didn't like the trade for Guskowski and taking Smallwood instead of the kid in New York and DeAndre Washington. So I can't give him the 4.5. Sorry.
And Brian.
You know, his off-season moves, I would definitely give him 3.8. I felt they're very strong, very bold, very lucrative moves. But the one I didn't like is a kicker for a second-round pick. I just felt that with that second-round pick, he could have got the guy out of that rookie out of Tampa Bay.
For myself, I'm going to go with a toggling back and forth. I'm going to go with a 4 only because of the price he had to pay in draft choices next year to get some of the talent that he got. I think that, you know, take away one of those draft picks that he gave away in 2017, put that back on his team, and I'd be giving this a 4.5. Pick up a franchise quarterback, solidify the offensive flex with players like Hopkins. I mean, holy crap, that's fantastic. And then, you know, in defense, he's ready to, you know, the defensive line is so strong, he's got ability to trade, and he did some early signings strategically to help his cap situation. So, once again, guys, we're up against the clock, so that's going to do it. Don't forget about our upcoming shows in the 2016 off-season series, team-by-team breakdown here. Next show is going to showcase Trons, Pabst, Sixer to finish off the Blue Division. So until next time, I would like to thank Brian Koch, Tom Buckles, and Steve Wellman for joining me tonight. I would very much like to thank everybody for listening. Going to end this with one of Tom's favorites. We used to rock this on the way into work a lot of days. All right, Gabby, Mr. Roboto. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Mad Dog Dynasty League podcast.